Welcome to the Doctor's Life Podcast with Diane Ansari Wynn, MD. Dr. Diane is a stress and burnout coach for doctors. With her 15 years of experience as an anesthesiologist and certification as a physician development coach, Dr. Diane coaches doctors on how to live a rich life of purpose, fulfillment, freedom, and happiness both at work and at home. In this podcast, Dr. Diane brings together doctors and researchers that are experts in health, wellness, stress, and burnout, as well as doctors that have been successful in clinical practice, academics, non-clinical careers, and business to share their expertise and life experience so that you can live your own life purpose, fulfillment, freedom, and happiness. To get free access to a PDF and video of easy and proven strategies that melt stress away and keep it away, simply register at www.dianeansari-win.com. That's www.dianeansari-win.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Diane Ansari Wynn.
Hi, it's Dr. Diane here, and I have a quick request before we jump into the show. If you like this podcast, it would mean so much if you took just a moment to hop over to iTunes, write a review, and rate the show. That is how other people will find the show and get the same great value from it that I hope that you're getting. It just takes a few moments to click a star rating and write a quick note. Now, on to the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Doctor's Life podcast. Today we are talking with Dr. Joanna Bostwick, and we're going to be talking about what do you do when you've been practicing for a while and you start to ask, is medicine for me after all? We'll be talking about how to evaluate your next move. And Dr. Bostwick experienced this firsthand. She's an emergency room physician at the Montfort Hospital and a lecturer at the University of Ottawa. And she holds a certification in quality improvement and patient safety from the University of Ottawa Telfer School of Management. And she also has a certification in travel health from the International Society of Travel Medicine. She's the coordinator of the Residence as Teachers program at the Ottawa Hospital and an instructor for advanced cardiac life support. Welcome, Dr. Joanna.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure. Well, we always ask our doctor guests, how did you decide to become a doctor? How did you get into medicine?
Well, that's a very good question because it's not something that I've, you know, dreamed about since I was 4 or 5 years old. I actually had a bit of a different route and was very interested in journalism and wanted to be initially a television news reporter in high school. And I worked in a local community television network and really loved hearing about people's stories and meeting new people, and I loved the communication aspect, but then I realized that I didn't like how staged everything was on television, so it wasn't really for me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I actually did a degree in kinesiology and became really interested in health and sports through that program, and then I think like a lot of people sort of at the early stages decide that they're going to save the world through health promotion and diet and exercise. And so being a doctor seemed like the way to do that.
Yeah. Well, it is such a productive way of being able to do that, to spread that message that's so important for patients or for people in general about health, diet, and exercise. And actually, lately on the podcast, we've been talking a lot about that, too, for doctors, that we advise our patients to do those things, but we may or may not do those things ourselves. And just how it's an interesting paradox that we're not known as a healthy group of people. Like if you were to
Absolutely.
Say, like, you know what I mean? Like if they were like, well, what's a healthy group of people? Doctors would not come up for a while.
it's really funny too. So my training was, my first residency was in family medicine, and because I felt that was the best avenue in terms of dealing with preventative medicine and dealing with prevention before I did my fellowship in emergency medicine. And, you know, through family medicine, you talk to people all the time about also mental health issues. And I think you're absolutely right that we encourage people to look into counseling or to take medication or to, you know, get involved in exercise, but then we have a hard time a lot of times talking about mental illness ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that we're feeling stressed or burnt out, or it seems like it's more taboo in the medical world.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And through our conversations, hopefully, on this podcast, and I think in general, it's starting to become a little bit more acceptable to discuss these things. And, you know, frankly, I think it's imperative for us as a group of professionals that we take on taking care of ourselves, you know, the level of burnout and stress and people leaving the profession, and it's really becoming, you know, frankly, it's unacceptable, but it's interesting that we sort of tolerate it as a group, in part because mm-hmm. we are called upon to be very strong, I think, and take on a lot of emotional issues and emotional situations, stressful situations, and still handle those with some level of calm and professionalism. I'm sure you see that in emergency medicine in particular.
Yes, definitely. In emergency medicine, you are dealing with all walks of life, all sorts of different medical issues, definitely a lot of times that's where people come when they're kind of at the end of their rope and they don't know where else to go. So you're seeing a lot of difficult situations, not so much in terms of physical medicine, but a lot of difficult social crisis kind of situations. And I think that people need you so much and they need you to fix their situation somehow. And you can't always do that, of course. And it definitely, I think if we don't discuss this openly or we don't feel that we can talk with our colleagues or family or somebody for support, it can really take a toll on you. I think seeing all of these problems that we really can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is part of what I enjoy about this line of work. I love the variety, and I love that you can reassure people. So a lot of times that are so concerned and so worried when they come into the eMERGE. And I do love the idea that you can help people in so many different types of situations. But that definitely is, I think the degree of burnout in eMERGE is quite high just because of the different shifts and the fact that you're always being called upon to see people in a very fast-paced environment and to work quickly and rapidly, and you don't always have all the services at your fingertips. And usually there's not as many services available at 2 a.m. when typically we have a lot of our shifts. So it definitely is a very different line of work. Not for everybody.
Right. Right. It is. It is. That actually brings us to our topic when I was mentioning in the introduction that we were going to talk about, you know, what do you do when you start to ask, is medicine for me? And you went through a period where you were seriously questioning if your career choice was a good fit. Would you mind talking about where you were in your career and what was going on?
Sure. So when I finished residency, I became staff. I was very excited to be working right away in a large tertiary care facility. It's an academic facility in Ottawa, an emergency physician. So it felt to me like this was a great opportunity, prestigious, lots of opportunities for advancement, and working with approximately 60 other emergency physicians. So definitely a large group.
Well, that's a large practice.
Very, very large. I worked for a couple of years, and at the beginning I felt, which what I thought was normal, is quite insecure about my abilities, I felt, which I think is normal when you start, you're mm-hmm. lacking confidence, mm-hmm. you don't know if you're making the right decisions, you wonder what colleagues are thinking about you and if they agree with your management plan. But it continued, which I found strange. So a year went by, thought, you know, I'm still feeling sick to my stomach the night before my shift, really unsettled, very nauseous and so nervous, which I thought was really strange. And then again, another year, and really not much had changed, and I was becoming very unhappy, questioning my abilities, and, you know, going over and over my cases in my head. And I just thought, like, there's something not right here. So, you know, maybe this is just not the right field for me. So I wasn't sure if it was emergency medicine or just was medicine at all. Something was really off.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very, very alone and actually quite depressed, to be honest. And I didn't really know who to turn to. I didn't feel comfortable bringing this up with my eMERGE colleagues, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I basically, since thankfully because of eMERGE, it's not like you have a specific practice you have to be responsible for. So I was able to, it was a little bit easier to actually take some time off. So I said to my chief of department that I wanted to have 5 weeks off, and I was thankfully able to organize that. I decided to do a trip that I'd always wanted to do for probably since I was in my early 20s, and it's a pilgrimage. It's called the Camino. It's an 800-kilometer walk across Spain.
Wow.
That's impressive,
and it speaks to your nature, but also to our nature in general for physicians. It's like, oh, yeah, something I've always wanted to do is walk 800 kilometers.
I know. It sounds strange. It's definitely, you know, it's not a Fairmont, going to a Fairmont.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to do something that was really just for me, that was going to be the trip I'd read about was, you know, it's really supposed to be a personal journey, something that you do alone, something where there's very low amount of planning. Basically, just you book your plane ticket, and you arrive, and you stay in hostels along the way. But supposed to just be something that you, which is so, you know, against everything we do in our normal life, where everything in my world is planned months in advance, scheduled down to the minute. And so this was a huge change, which is part of what I wanted to do. I wanted to get completely out of my environment and my comfort zone. And luckily, I was in a stage in my life where I was not married. I didn't have children. So that was also made things a little bit simpler for me to take off and do that. I just wanted to be able to think and try to figure out what I was going to do.
That's a five-week journey?
Yes, it's something that, it's very flexible to each individual, but I did approximately anywhere from 20 to 30 kilometers a day without a break.
Wow.
So some people could, you know, decide to have a few rest days, and I guess I just felt like I wanted to be walking every day, but I just varied the amount of kilometers per day. And so you meet different people along the way from all over the world, and it's really interesting because you have no idea what lies ahead, which is a really, really nice change to not try to be planning the future. You stay in different varied accommodations, and, you know, there's different food. You're not really sure when that's going to be available. You don't know, you know, if you're going to have to walk another 5 kilometers or if you should stop and take a break when you see a little cafe to take advantage because you don't know what's coming next. But it works out. It was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I wasn't so naive to think that I'm going to go away and all my problems are going to be resolved and figured out by the time I get home. So I didn't think that. I just wanted to be able to have this time to think, reevaluate, and decide if I was really making the right decision by being in medicine, especially in emergency medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you find, you know, as you were going through that time? I haven't taken that amount of time off for contemplation, but usually when I take time off or take a vacation, it's been like at least first 2 or 3 days, still sort of like trying to feel like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. Or if I'm away, then like, oh, I have to see this or see that. It's still sort of in your busy mental mind, and it takes a while to kind of unwind and, you know.
Oh, yes.
Did that process occur for you, and what did that look like?
Oh, of course. You know, I think, and that's just what I was mentioning a little bit before, is that need to want to have everything planned out, because I felt like I was still, you realize how, I guess, hyped up or stressed out we are, or anxious we can be on a daily basis. And I, because I wanted to, you know, I felt very uneasy about not knowing where I was going to stay that evening. And you have a guidebook with where the little towns are, so it's not really like you're in the middle of the woods or something. It's just that it's not planned. But I think that that's what creates that unsettling feeling. At the beginning, I really had to fight hard to not email or call ahead and book something, because they don't recommend that you do that. But I found that really tough. And, you know, it's just part of, I think, the beginning, thankfully, if when I'm thinking back to the trip, it was so hard physically that I almost couldn't really think about it, because I was just concentrating on getting through the walking up the
quite a vertical mountain. At the beginning is actually the worst. So I think that probably what helped divert my attention. And I remember it was pouring rain for the first 2 days as well. So another reason I was just able to kind of concentrate and be in survival mode of putting one foot in front of the other and looking to have water and food and not really worried about anything else. So to be honest, that's where my mind was.
Mm-hmm. So what did you end up deciding? How did you come to it?
So curious, was it some epiphany or, you know, just a gradual process? Or
I have to tell you, yes, it wasn't an epiphany. I definitely was hoping for that along my trip. I was just hoping, you know, I would, you know, have dream in the middle of the night, or I would just be walking along and some voice would pop into my head. And as it was actually almost done the trip, you know, I was starting to feel a little bit concerned that I didn't have an exact plan. And I started to get worried about it. So no, I don't think that generally things always happen as they do in the movies, and you see people there. That moment where it all clicks. I definitely by having all that time, it's a lot of time to think and to be alone. I realized that I absolutely loved medicine, and I started to think back to all of the reasons why I went into medicine. You know, memories from medical school, times in residencies, the patient encounters that I had in my first couple of years as a staff that were really meaningful and where people, you know, really enjoyed my care and were pleased with the sort of diagnosis I had been able to make, or even the difficult cases that I'd had. I was able to really process them and think them through. And and when I sort of was able to put away all of those negative feelings that I was interpreting from maybe colleagues or other, or, you know, residents, or, you know, trying to just take away that these insecurities and looking really at the situation and how I felt about the patient interaction,
mm-hmm.
I realized that I loved it and that this was the right field for me. But maybe it was more so where I was practicing. Maybe it was more the environment that was not right for me, that it wasn't supportive enough. So when I came back, I felt, okay, I don't exactly know what I'm going to do, but at least I've decided that, no, I want to stay in medicine. So that was a good realization.
Oh, and yeah. That in and of itself for a lot of people, can be, as they're going through this process in one way or another, it's a relief to know, because you question, you know, whether you came to it later in life or whether you wanted to be a doctor since you were 5 years old, or most of us feel a calling to it. You know, just from talking to so many doctors, my own experience, and then being on the admissions committee at a university, you know, you would talk to so many students, and the reasons why you come to medicine isn't like, oh, yeah, well, I like science and I like people and I thought it'd be good. It's so much deeper than that. So to question something that's so deep, and then, you know, the training and the sacrifice that you put in, you know, I think a lot of us feel, I certainly did, that I felt like medicine was in my bones. I felt like medicine was part of the fabric of my, yes, exactly, your identity. That to question whether or not you're going to stay in medicine, you know, it's like questioning your whole view of yourself as, you know, as a human being and our, you know, your purpose in the world and so many levels. It's not just a simple question at all. I think it's such an important decision that to take that time, that maybe not everybody can take the time you did or the way that you did, but gosh, it really takes some deep inner work, I think, to come to that conclusion. And it probably won't just come in an epiphany, like you said.
No, and the thing is that I think that
you have to, it's important to at least recognize that maybe there's a problem and that you're feeling that something isn't right, that you need to listen to that and listen to your gut. And I think that's the most important part, is to really realize, okay, there's something not quite right, and I don't feel good. And it's amazing that I was actually having those physical reactions, feeling, you know, that it's like the butterflies in your stomach, you know. And I thought, that's kind of strange, you know, to be feeling that almost every time before you go to work, and that's not a way to live your life. So I think that recognition is important, but there still has to be a bit of a leap of faith, a little bit of courageous move to make a change. But it's not an easy thing, but at least to recognize there's a problem and then try to think about what are some possible solutions. And for me, it was, you know, at the time it seemed like a big deal, but looking back, it was not really a big deal. I changed to a different hospital, but again, it was within the same city, so it's not like I had to move across the country or do anything like that. And it was the simplest, most wonderful decision.
Wow. Work in a different hospital, different environment. And you sound very happy, but how did that work out for you?
It worked out really well. And what basically I had done is I approached the chief of department there, and we agreed that I would start on a trial basis. And I had explained that what the situation a little bit, and that I said, would it be possible to just have a trial of a few months and not particularly make a commitment? And he was agreeable to that. And I felt, so, you know, I did make that move, and that was about 4 years ago. I just, you know, of course, every day, you know, every different days you're going to have a difficult day at work, or you're, you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but I think in general, I just enjoy going to work. I don't feel nervous the same way I did. I don't feel insecure. I have more confidence. The big thing is that I feel like I can talk to my colleagues, and I don't feel like I'm showing weakness by expressing how I felt about a difficult case that affected me emotionally, or if I didn't know a diagnosis, we can talk about it. So I think that collegiality is so important, because we can't be expected to know everything all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's how we're trained, and that's how we work. You know, we round together. We have mentors and attending physicians that help us as we go along. I always thought of residency as being, and medical training too, that medical school is being akin to an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And so it's where we're sharing our knowledge with each other, and that feels so good to be able to do that, to discuss those cases. And it can be sometimes when we're in practice, you know, depending on the nature of the practice, where it may not be as easy or integral a part of the practice to do that, but I think you really underscored the point that it's important to have those collegial relationships as you go along, just to bounce an idea off someone, or to be able to share, even if it's what you think might be a routine case. Maybe they have a different idea of how they manage it. But even aside from the management, just the connection with our colleagues is so important to maintain those, to grow and maintain those relationships.
What I think I found surprising is that some of my colleagues now, where I work in this other hospital, who have, you know, over 20 years experience, much more experience than I am, you know, would still sometimes ask me a question about something, about a case, and I feel so surprised, but I'm relieved at the same time that they don't know something, or that they're actually asking my opinion. I feel assured that it's okay. You know, we all have to look things up. We have to talk to each other. And I think also, too, at different levels of our years in practice, you acquire different skills, or sometimes you might forget certain aspects of medicine, that you become maybe you might have a better clinical gestalt about things. So it's nice to see that you don't have to know everything, as I mentioned.
Right. And the training changes too over time. So with you being a younger physician, and the older physicians coming to you, because maybe you know there's something that got emphasized in training or that's relatively new
yes.
that you would have more experience with and knowledge of
uh-huh.
that the older docs had to go back, you know, to get their CME in, but you've learned it, you know, as part and parcel of your training. So the sharing can go both ways for sure.
Uh-huh.
I think it's important, too, to mention that I think one thing that your particular experience has brought out is that when in stress and burnout, there's more than just the individual factors that are involved in that. Even Christina Maslach, who's the premier researcher in burnout, has come to emphasize more and more in her writing the organizational piece of contribution to burnout. So I just want to emphasize for the folks that are listening out there too that when you feel stressed and burned out, just like Dr. Boswick was saying, you can't just take it all on yourself. You have to look at what else is going on in your practice, things that might be a better fit or they were a fit at one point but now they're not, or whatever's going on. The point is, like, it's not just you and you're not just alone, you know, and because sometimes it does mean that you would change your position in medicine, change your practice, as opposed to leaving medicine. That's another option, and that's a whole other discussion, but that there's ways for you to maintain and stay in practice, and not just survive in practice, but thrive in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, I would say, about my move as being a fairly junior staff member. Not only has it been a really exciting, dynamic work environment clinically, but I've been able to get involved in research opportunities and teaching opportunities that I felt were really way beyond what I would have been in my reach at the tertiary care center, just in terms of the hierarchy. So working at now, it's an academic hospital, but it's a community-based hospital. It's really just opened up so many opportunities because we have a smaller group and not everybody is as eager to get involved, and I particularly am. So it's been nice to just round out my whole medical career just being involved in not only clinical duties. So definitely I like what you've mentioned about thriving as opposed to surviving only.
Yeah, that would be the goal. You know, again, it goes back to what we're talking about, like in medicine, are we known as a group of healthy, dynamic people or kind of really smart people that work really hard and just get really tired? And, you know, there's incumbent upon us as a group to bring each other up and to bring the profession up so that folks that join our fraternity, so to speak, feel like that it's somewhere that they're supported and that they will be able to stay and practice their whole life long should they decide to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraged by our conversation and conversations like it. I think physicians are a group of really smart people and we'll be able to get this figured out. That being said, you have had such a unique experience of going through a crisis, so to speak, and coming out on the other side and thriving on the other side. What would you recommend to others or colleagues that find themselves at some point on that continuum where they're feeling like things aren't right and they're questioning whether or not medicine is a good fit for them?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think the most important thing is to listen to that feeling and to take it seriously. So when you feel something isn't right, you want to try to address or act on earlier than later. And I also think it's a very good idea to seek counseling. Now in a lot of faculties, this is something that usually they have some kind of physician wellness program or they should, mm-hmm. where people, even if it's a phone call, just because I do think it is really important to get an objective and, you know, quote unquote safe viewpoint outside of family, friends, and even colleagues that we might be a little bit intimidated to talk to. I think that's a good idea to address the feelings and to get an outside opinion, perhaps, if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. And then, if at all possible, I think that you don't have to walk across the country. Just being removed from the situation, just to have time to possibly think, and it doesn't even have to be that long, but if you can just give yourself time to breathe so that you can be at least better equipped to handle the problem once you go back. I think that just that time and space away, even if it's a day, a week, whatever you can do, I think that's really important so that you can have time to think about what's really going on in your life. What is it something, is it the environment? Do you really not enjoy what you're doing? But sometimes it's difficult, and we just keep running and keep going through the motions with all these distractions, and we don't have time to ourselves to really process how we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, that's wonderful advice. Dr. Joanna Bostwick, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you today, and thank you so much for being brave and open, sharing your experience with the audience. You know, it can be difficult to admit or talk about the challenges that we have personally as we're practicing medicine. And I think that your example is so wonderful that you faced those challenges and that you were able to come up with a solution that is working well for you. And I'm so grateful that you're still practicing medicine, because we would hate to lose you so early on in your career. So I'm so happy that you're able to come up with a solution that works for you. And I guess I would like to share with everybody that there are ways to find the solution. The thing is to be able to spend some time being mindful and reach out to others and see what a solution you can come up with and try it and see if it works, just like Dr. Bostwick did. So thank you again so much for sharing your story today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much, Diane. It was a pleasure to be here.
Good deal. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast today. And I look forward to seeing you next time. In the meantime, I would hope that everybody stays happy and healthy, and we will see you soon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Doctor's Life Podcast with Diane Ansari Wynn, MD. Go to www.dianeansari-wynn.com to read show notes, listen to past episodes, share your comments and show ideas, and pick up your free PDF and video of easy and proven strategies that will melt your daily stress away. That's www.dianeansari-wynn.com.